Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com. Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is Good Friday. As you walk your faith out into the world today, I hope that you are taking time to walk the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross. There are lots of ways in which you can do that. I hope you'll find a Good Friday service to attend. I hope you will read the relevant passages of Scripture. I hope that you will worship. I hope that you will spend some time today in worship. So I'm going to actually have an extended conversation about that with Keith Getty in just a moment. We're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about how you can use music today as you walk the way of the cross. But I thought I would lead off here with a reminder of just where we have been in this Holy Week, and just a reminder of what happened this past Monday at Notre Dame Cathedral. I know that we have been focused on this, not only here in the U.S., but obviously around the world. And commitments to now rebuild it exceed, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. And on this Good Friday, Mass will be held. And so there's this sense that there is substance in that building. And I just felt like it was really important today to recognize that as precious as the things are, the statues, the crown of thorns, the splinters of wood, they are but relics. They're symbols. They're not the substance. Like the cross itself or the building of a church or the Bible even. These are physical gifts. They're touch points. They help us who are temporal to connect with the one who is eternal. They are wonderful, but they're not the substance of the faith. And so today, as we walk the way of the cross, as we behold the Lamb, as we witness the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I want us to hold not to his body, nor to the cross upon which our Savior died, but I want us to cling to him. Don't cling to the shroud or the crown of thorns or the nails that were driven in his hands and feet. Let us behold the Christ. Let us cry out and weep and mourn with the reality of the sin which held him there. Let us dwell on the reality of the character of God, whose infinite love and perfect holiness are poured out on Calvary in what can only be described as the ultimate gift of grace. Let us focus today on the substance, not the symbol, the substance of who Christ is and what he has done on our behalf. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge, and we'll be right back. On this Good Friday, I'm pleased to be joined by Keith Getty from GettyMusic.com. Keith, welcome back to Mornings with Carmen.
It's great to be back, Carmen. Thank you so much.
So I thought it would be wonderful to talk with you today about how music really does transport us during weeks like this, how our soul is moved into real worship through music. So can you just reflect a little bit on that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we have, of course, been created to sing. God commands us to sing. It's the most common command in Scripture, so it's only appropriate. But most of all, this Easter story, it compels us to sing, partly because when we think of what Christ has done, it is our natural response throughout time that God's people sing, but also that Christ himself, even in this Holy Week, sang hymns with the disciples before they went to the Mount of Olives. It's part of the story itself, and indeed on the cross, he's quoting the Psalms which he would have sung as a young man.
So I think when you say it that way, and we think about, you know, the Psalm 22, or we think about Psalm 24, or, you know, there are some Psalms that we think of and can easily call to mind, Psalm 51. I'm recognizing that in North Coast, you focus on Psalm 130 and this waiting, this theme of waiting. How does that play into sort of the events of Holy Week, and particularly on Good Friday, this experience of waiting?
Well, I think in one sense, the Holy Week is the very fulfillment of Psalm 130. It's interesting, Christians throughout history, Augustine to Luther and Calvin to Wesley on the other side of the church, all consider this the most important psalm because it says, out of the depths I call to you, and so you have this sense of what Christ did being fulfilled ultimately through the psalm. So when we did the version of Psalm 130, we wrote it. We used the old Scottish metrical psalm, which is just singing the psalm, but the ballad in the middle of the song is actually the fulfillment in Christ of this part of the story. And Easter week gives us a chance, you know, if we follow the story through and allow the story to shape our worship life, it's an important time for us to consider these things. Modern life, modern culture, and sadly, a lot of modern church culture doesn't really focus on sufferings, doesn't focus on waiting, doesn't leave us times of silence. And that is part of life, and that is part of worship, and that is how more worship has been modeled in history. So it's an important week if you're a parent or a preacher or a musician to make sure your churches have these times of being able to consider all that Christ has done, just and have more, perhaps more times of silence and reflection in our lives.
Darkest places I will call. Incline your ear to me anew and hear my cry for mercy, Lord. Where you to count my sinful ways? How could I come before your throne? Yet full forgiveness meets my gaze. I stand redeemed by grace alone. I will wait for you. I will wait for you on your word. I will rely. I will wait for you. Surely wait for you till my soul is satisfied. Hope.
Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. My guest this hour is musician Keith Getty. So, Keith, one of the pieces of music that we're going to play is from your Hymns for the Christian Life, and it's the Gethsemane piece. And I just wanted to read from Mark chapter 14, because I really do think that, you know, if we're going to experience Good Friday, we got to go to Gethsemane. And so they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John along with him. And he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And he said to them, "Stay here and keep watch." He fell to the ground and he prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Talk with us about Gethsemane.
Yeah, this was really written as the prequel to The Power of the Cross. He wrote a song many years ago called The Power of the Cross, which explains what Christ's sufferings were all about and tells the story of Easter week. But then we thought, like you have pointed out, part of Holy Week is actually taking us to Gethsemane and even before it gets to that moment. Stuart crafted this beautiful lyric to him, sort of an Irish melody that I'd written, inspired by really Irish melodies from folklore. And we put together this, and we use it exactly as you have suggested. We read that passage, we allow some instrument to play, and then Kristen sings this kind of dramatic song, which then takes us into the power of the cross and helps us understand in a more deep way the journey of Holy Week.
So, friends, let's take a minute. We're going to listen to a portion of Gethsemane, and then we are going to listen to The Power of the Cross. This is a conversation with Keith Getty on this Good Friday. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen.
To see the King of Heaven fall in anguish to his knees, the light and hope of all the world now overwhelmed with grief. What nameless horrors must he see to cry out in the garden? Oh, take this cup away from me, yet not my will, but yours. Yet not my will, but yours. Evil deed, Christ.
With Keith Getty shortly on this special Good Friday edition of Mornings with Carmen.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I find a place to stand.
So as we continue our conversation in just a moment with Keith Getty, let me just say we've got some copies of CDs from Getty Music available. If you are interested in receiving one of those, you can enter the drawing by emailing me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. Please email today your contact information, your name, and your mailing address to carmen@myfaithradio.com. We're going to continue our conversation with Keith Getty in just a moment, but let us prepare our hearts and minds to walk our faith out into the world that God so loves today in ways that are gentle and humble, recognizing that we all stand at the foot of the cross.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, His family is my. Strangers chasing selfish dreams. Now one through grace alone.
Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen as we reflect on the music of Good Friday with Keith Getty. So, Keith, the power of the cross is literally powerful. Another piece, and this one comes from the Awaken the Dawn project, is Behold the Lamb. Talk with us about that.
Behold the Lamb was a hymn written for the communion service. He wanted to write a hymn that takes us through the communion service. First verse is a preparation for communion. Then the second verse is the bread or the body of Christ. Verse 3 is the blood. Or the wine. And then verse 4 is the response, because we sing this, of course, until he comes. So the first verse not only sets up the story, but it gives it the historical context of the Passover. And then verse 4 sends us out. But verse 4 sends us out that we will do this until he comes. So we're doing this one day. We drink this cup knowing that one day is coming, the cup of judgment. We drink this wine knowing that one day the blood that is shed, that has forgiven us, gives us permission, gives us a hope of heaven. So that was the whole idea of it. And it's interesting, when we were writing the project, you know, my wife, when she thought about the Lord's table, and we began to think about there was various things. We thought about the stone table in Narnia, the picture of that. But she also thought about the table of being God's family. And she thought about her own table. Her dad was a church planter, and they used to have lots of people at their house at Sunday lunch, all crammed around the table. So we made that line in every verse, around the table of the King. We made that kind of a repeating theme in every verse. That sense that the communion, as you sing the song, as you take communion, that you're around the table as a family. So each church that sing this in their context are enjoying being family.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. And so we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ, torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one.
This is Mornings with Carmen, continuing with Keith Getty from Getty Music. Let's talk about singing with kids, because I do think that particularly the project, the Getty Kids Hymnal, I'm not sure that everyone sort of recognizes the importance of teaching the faith through singing and singing with our kids. Just can you make that appeal to people today?
Well, it goes back to all of history. I mean, the Old Testament, we write these truths in our children's hearts, right back to the Shema, you know, the hero Israel, that the children were taught to write these truths, to memorize these things in their hearts. Our generation aren't writing with big lettering. They're not memorizing. But one of the best ways they can write truths in their hearts and memorize is by teaching them songs of the Lord. I'll never forget my first time I had my coffee with John MacArthur. And I asked him a question about, I was just very frustrated. I was having one of those, you know, failed parents days that your kids are behaving badly and you realize it's all your own fault. And I said, as a throwaway comment, I said, any advice on raising kids? And he said, well, a lot of it is helped in an extraordinary way by the songs that you fill your children's hearts with, filling your homes with songs of the Lord. His phrase was, where life happens, fill them with songs of the Lord. So in the car, in the kitchen, in the playroom, perhaps in the bedroom, fill these homes with songs of the Lord, that they grow up loving singing of the Lord, you know. So that was huge. And over the years, it's been interesting. We were asked to be part of a conversation with the British Church Times back in, I think, 2013, 14, where somebody had put together this idea that the Anglican Church in Britain had died, not because of theological or evangelistic reasons or the secularization of Britain, but was dying because of the death of children's choirs. And, of course, while it was a very overly simplistic thing, there is a truth that these children's choirs, when done properly and when done with a gospel vision, have so many multiple layers of ways to teach the next generation of children, to evangelize to our communities, to excite the next generation of a church, to bring parents in and help our local churches feel like friends to their communities. And so for Kristen and I, now we've got four girls of our own, and I just made them all breakfast and had to deal with some bad behavior. And just in the daily reality of life, filling your home with songs of the Lord is so crucial.
Good Friday, when we consider what the way of the cross is like, and when we find ourselves, kneeling at the cross and recognizing the sacrifice that Christ makes for us there. One of the things that I have learned from you and Kristen is the value of congregational singing. So we certainly want to encourage people to be worshiping with others today. Find a Good Friday service in your own community and actually go and worship with the people of God, gather together at the foot of the cross and sing the faith. Like, this is really important. And then in your Sing project, which I totally love, but in that project, one of the songs that really has captivated people is He Worthy? And I don't know, Keith, if you've, if you're a social media person at all, but there is a viral video of like a 3-year-old singing that song in the kitchen. And he's declaring, I mean, when he delivers the "He is" line, It is powerful. So can you talk with us about the song, Is He Worthy?
Sure. It's not my song at all. It's Andrew Peterson's song. And Andrew's probably arguably the most brilliant lyricist, and certainly narrative lyricist in Christian music that I can see right now. And so he wrote that song as part of his Resurrection Letters. And it's I love it for multiple reasons. I love it because it's theological. I love it because it's actually liturgical. It takes a lot of, almost has the language and the turn of the Anglican communion. I love it that it speaks, there's a lament sense, and it speaks to the realities of life and doubt and questions and longing. But ultimately that it's filled with, it's a creedal song, it's filled with the truths of what we believe. And it's just an amazing tune, isn't it, Carmen? It's just beautiful, you know, it's and it's different, it's fresh, you know. So that song is just extraordinary.
Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do.
That's great.
And is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
Keith Getty has been my special guest this hour on Mornings with Carmen. So you you really empower us to worship today and into Sunday as well. But we're going to not jump ahead of Good Friday and sing of the resurrection glory on Sunday. We're going to wait and we're going to be patient and we're going to grieve. And we're going to acknowledge our sin, and we're going to acknowledge the gift of grace in God, in Christ upon the cross. And what would be one song that you would want to be sure people are singing today on this Good Friday?
You know, when I think of old hymns, I recently gave a talk on Isaac Watts. And Isaac Watts wrote the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And so Charles Wesley said he would exchange every hymn he'd ever written to have written When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And so I think that's a pretty important piece of writing.
Well, that's the one that we will leave our listeners with then today. Keith Getty, thank you so much for joining us today.
Carmen, it's always a privilege. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's listen to When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.